In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, it was Sunday, and 5-year-old Julia had been to church with her mother and father that morning. And that night, as Julia sat on the side of her bed beside her dad, she was saying her evening prayers. And then she remembered something, and she said this: "Oh, and God, we all had a good time at church this morning. I wish you could have been there." I wish you could have been there. Well, of course God had been there. God is always with us. In case you wonder where, God is present in the proclamation of the readings from the Holy Scriptures every Sunday when we gather like this. God is here upon the altar in the bread and the wine of the Holy Communion. And God is here as the pastor proclaims God's forgiveness for our shortcomings, usually from the rear of the church, for the things that we didn't do this week that we should have done, and for the things that we did that we might not have done. Be aware. Be aware, says St. Paul. Be aware. God is even close in this corner when people come here to the pastor or the deacon and ask for a prayer, a moment of conversation with God. When we come here into this place, God is here offering his grace, God's grace, in a variety of ways. This morning, God is here. God is here. And in this morning's reading from St. Paul's letter to those young Christians living out in the city of Corinth, Paul reminds them that God is right there among them. And Paul warns some of them to stop their bickering and stop some of the things they're saying about each other. Paul says, beware. Be aware that God has been so good to you in so many ways. And so God expects you to be good to each other and to those who come among you. Yes, let me tell you that quite a few years ago, I attended a conference at the highly respected St. Bartholomew Episcopal Church on Park Avenue in New York City. As Bill Gohl and I walked into that magnificent church, we stood in the lobby for 10 seconds, just before the 11 o'clock service, and we were greeted immediately by a woman who really drew us in, made us feel like God was there. She didn't just give us a passing good morning and thrust a bulletin into our hands. No, her welcome was genuine, inviting, and intentional. It was a sincere acknowledgement on her part for her gratitude that we were there. And Bill Gohl, for those of you who know Bill Gohl, wasn't even the bishop then. She kindly ushered us to the third pew. third pew from the front where seats were made available for us. I don't remember the sermon that wonderful Pastor Bill Tully preached that Sunday morning, but I do remember how welcome I felt by that woman who greeted us. Her gift of hospitality would have brought us back to St. Bartholomew's the very next Sunday if we had lived in New York City. By the way, the title of that conference back in 2015, the title was, "Let Us Offer You a Radical Welcome." I learned that day that a radical welcome involves the grace of God that Paul speaks about in this letter that he wrote to those young Christians living out in Corinth. When you believe that you live in the presence of God's grace, in the light of God's grace, you treat other people with that grace. And it shows. It shows in the way you live your life and the way you treat other people. The grace of God has the ability in it to bring out the best in me and the best in each one of you. In this reading of Paul's this morning that the pastor read, Paul prays for the Christians in Corinth. He's not praying for the people in that church in New York. They've got it already. Paul prays for the Corinthian church, that they will quickly become what? Become aware of the grace of God that happened when God allowed his son to go on the cross of Calvary for you, each one of you, and for me, that we could have a life, an endless life, in God's presence one day. And that grace that God gave the world that day is present in you and me. Did you ever know that all the way back in 1940, there was a common belief back then, and I know how far back that was because I was born in 1941. Anyway, on to the story. There was a common belief back 86 years ago that eating grapes could heal a particular form of cancer. Today, that wouldn't be considered good science. Well, the story is told of a woman who lived in Belgium during the Second World War. Her son had that rare form of cancer, and her doctor actually told her that if she fed him grapes, he would definitely be cured of the cancer. But there were no grapes to be found in that devastated land during the war. The only grapes in the country that were growing anywhere were in the King of Belgium's vineyard. Well, you can only imagine. If that son were yours, daughter, mother, were yours, that woman sold whatever she could, and then she sat down to account for what she had now. to offer to buy the grapes. And she went to the king and she asked him if he would sell her some of his grapes from his very own vineyard. And the king's response was, "Certainly not. I would not sell them to you. They are far too precious and valuable. And no matter what you offered, you would never be able to afford them." And then the king added this, "I will, however, give you all the grapes you need. You may take them, but you may take them only as a gift, or take them not at all." That is grace. That is grace. That's the grace of God happening here on this earth. Like it happened that day when Bill Gohl and I walked in to that church in New York City. It's all the Trinity, the grace of Almighty God, the love of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all when you realize that everything you have is a gift of God's grace. Then you realize how important it is for you to open your heart to this gift of Jesus and his presence among us, even in these moments. 2,000 years ago on a cross on Calvary, Jesus Christ became God's gift of grace to the world. God's gift of grace for you, for each one of you, and for me. And we ought to be sharing that gift of God's grace with each other every day, right here. Will you?